Welcome to Profiles in Prosperity, the leading podcast for residential service contractors, sponsored by Service Roundtable and hosted by David Heimer.
Hi, this is David Heimer. Welcome to Profiles in Prosperity. It's great to have Doug Jackson on the podcast today. Doug is the general manager and fourth generation to be leading Jackson Comfort Services in Northeast Ohio. Doug has done just about everything in Jackson Comfort Services. He's been recognized for his industry expertise and leadership by being named to the 40 Under 40. Jackson Services is a large, respected company known for their excellence in service and operations. They have more than 5,000 Google reviews with a 4.9 star rating. Very impressive. So Doug Jackson, welcome to Profiles in Prosperity.
Thanks a lot for having me, Dave. Really excited to be on.
So talk to us about how you got into HVAC. I know that Jackson Services is a family business, but how did you end up getting involved over the years?
Yeah, like you said, family business, four generations. Really grew up basically with a wrench in my hand. I remember being young, 5, 6, 7 years old. My dad was a commercial tech and actually still is. He was dropping me down in condensing units to straighten out the fins at young age. I used to be in the office and we would do our own mailers and I would get paid like a penny per label that I did for my mom on the marketing side. When I was younger, they were putting me to work early. So I've really been in it from a very early age. In high school, I was fortunate enough to be in a district that had a vocational school added onto it. And one of the options was HVAC. And interestingly enough, my parents actually wanted me to go for engineering and not HVAC. But it just seemed like a waste to go for engineering when we had a pretty respected company in the area. Went to HVAC school for HVAC while I was still working on a company, still running parts for warehousing after school. Got on job sites, helping out where I could. When I graduated high school, I went into business management in college and got my bachelor's in that. And that was mainly night school that I was going for. So while I was in night school during the day, I was doing installs, worked my way into service, and then shortly after graduation, started doing some more office things, marketing, some call center management. Around 2017, moved into service management. The service manager we had at the time just wasn't getting it done for our company. So I moved him out, took that over, and then ended up moving into an operations management position, and eventually started running the whole thing on that 2019-2020 timeframe, and been running it ever since.
Wow. That is really an impressive career. Did you always like HVAC? Because sometimes kids start off in the industry to slave labor to the parents. And for a variety of reasons, they just don't like it. They don't want to do it. But then they end up coming back later and really loving it. What was your experience through it?
At the time, growing up, we were in that 20 to 25 person company range. So we were a pretty decent sized company for the time. I know these days that's pretty small. At the time, that was pretty, at least it seemed pretty large. And they had been that way for years and years. We were doing about 3.5 to 4 million in the early 2000s. And in 2017, we were still doing about $4 million. So the growth trajectory really wasn't there. The net profit really wasn't there. We had never been more than a few percent net profit. It was a typical story. Pay yourself well enough to live the life you want, but not really enough to make some significant money. I had not gotten into it because of the money. I had really gotten into it because my dad was a service technician and I loved fixing things. Now, I've always been into puzzles and playing chess and all these things. And I liked fixing a lot of stuff. So just when I was out in the field, I always said that I was never going to be in the office, never run the company. I really preferred the service side. And that's really what attracted me to it, was fixing problems and solving customer issues.
That's interesting. But you did transition into the management side of it, and you've been thriving there, right?
Yeah, absolutely. I've been fortunate enough, again, fourth generation family company. My family has always been really active in at least the local ACCA chamber. So there's been other staff that have been in service roundtable for a very long time, things of that nature. But the local ACCA and national ACCA thing was really good for us. And we've been in a mixed group for a very long time. So they started taking me to these mixed group meetings. I started meeting other contractors, and making that transition from the field to the office was really because I started going to these other companies and seeing what a good company, not that we weren't a good company, but what a larger company could look like or what growth could look like. And again, that kind of puzzle solver in me was like, oh, if we do these couple things, we could probably grow as well. Yeah, and we have.
And it's funny, as you were talking through that, I was thinking the same thing, that this appeals to the person who likes to solve puzzles.
Yeah, absolutely. And just when you think you've got it right, then throws the puzzle on the ground and says, do it all over again.
So tell me about Jackson Systems now.
We're about 85 employees deep. We do primarily residential. We're about 90% residential, 10% commercial. We brought on plumbing in 2020, and that's grown to about 15% of our business now. We're on track for about $23 million this year in the mid-20s net profit. So the growth over the last few years in 2017 is where I like to start that growth story. We were doing about $4 million with 2 to 4% net. So we've grown pretty significantly over the last 6 or 7 years.
I'll say that's impressive growth. That's fantastic. Kind of leads me into the next thing. To grow like that, you've got to get new people. And if there's one thing that contractors are always complaining about, it's not being able to find good people. But apparently you guys have done it. I noticed you had a recruiting video on your website, which looked really good to me. Does that work for you? And what else have you done to find good people?
Yeah, the recruiting video is definitely good, one for branding on social media and different hiring websites. It's been really good for that. Again, we're a fourth generation company. We've got a lot of history. My family was very, we'll say, they were a little less gung-ho on hiring for the busy season because when slow season hit, you'd have to lay people off. That's just how it was at the time. So when I came in and started managing some more things and changing the mindset, we went from hiring for the slow season to we're going to hire for the busy season. And when it gets slow, we're going to do whatever it takes to make sure we don't lay anybody off and that we don't actually have a slow season. And then when the next busy season hits, then we'll staff up for that. And then that's how we're going to continue to grow. And each season we'll step up a little bit more and a little bit more and a little bit more. And that was really the mindset that shifted. I think that one of the biggest things for our recruitment strategy has been finding people internally and finding people that aren't from the industry. Maybe they were baristas, maybe they've been service workers somewhere, Amazon workers, factories, whatever it is. We'll find those people, take them through an apprenticeship program that we have in-house, and then mold them into first a maintenance tech, and then maybe a service tech, or get them into install or wherever it is. So that's how we've been really successful, is hiring internally, hiring green, and training within. We got a really good recruitment program where someone does bring in a friend or whoever they have that they're bringing in. We pay them every month for 2 years that they both stay with our company. And that's been really successful for us, to the point where I think about 60%, this was a few months ago, but 60% of our total workforce is solely from referrals.
Oh, that's a great model. Because the one thing is, people don't want to hire people that aren't good to work with. So if you're recommending someone, you're going to be working with them, chances are good that's going to be a good person for the company, right?
Yeah. And they have this vibe that if you recommend someone that doesn't work out or that's not going to be a good fit, that's going to look bad on you. So you're only going to recommend the people that you feel are really going to be good for the culture and really be good for the company.
Good job. That's impressive. So you guys are a family business. You have other members of the family in the business now?
Yeah, so still have a few family members in the business. My mom, she takes care of my fleet for me. My dad is at 69 years old, is still a commercial service tech and probably one of the best in the industry. I know everybody says their dad is the best at what they do. This guy really does fix anything. He's one of the guys who goes on, the bigger the unit, the better it is. The more challenging the problem, the more interesting it is for him. So he's always been in the field. He's always done a really good job with tech support. And he still runs that every single day. My uncle, he was the one running the day-to-day office until he came along and started taking that over. And he's still here about maybe 2 times a week for a few hours, 3 times a week, just to say hi, see how things are going, and give any insights where he thinks they're best utilized.
So your dad really likes the service tech part of it, doesn't he?
He loves the service tech part. He really does not need the work. He just does it for the love of the work, which is cool to see.
Yeah. Yeah. How nice that you've been able to do that. So talk to me a little bit about ServiceNation Alliance. You joined in 2019. What did that end up doing for you guys?
The biggest thing that ServiceNation did, I'd say it's been two really big key things. One, joining the AB group was massive. I got in Lou Hobica's group, who's been an amazing mentor for me, just the best. It does not get any better than Lou. And I'm actually still in his group even today. But he's been instrumental in our growth, just how to run a company, how to lead, how to do marketing, just how to model a company. He's been very instrumental and other people in that group as well have been super instrumental. This guy, John Parker, Stephanie Postel's in that group. They've really helped me along over the years to get to where we are today and become as profitable as we are. The second thing is the training down in Texas has been really good. I've been to 2 boot camps myself. I've taken most of my management team down to boot camp at least once a piece, some of them twice. We've done a bunch of financial training down there. I've been to 2 or 3, I think, actually, trainings with Vicky and John LaPlante on just how to read a financial plan, how to read a P&L, what's a balance sheet, what is this thing called a cash flow statement, why does it matter? But they really helped me along in not only how to read the financials, I'll say, but how to make decisions off the financials. I think that's where a lot of people get tripped up, is you get all this training on what are the percentages and what's your marketing percentage, what's your labor percentage. You get these things started to be dialed in, but then how do you make decisions off of that? What is a high labor rate? What is a high marketing percentage? What should you be doing to increase or decrease these numbers? And going to those trainings has been really, just really huge for me, along with some of the virtual training that you guys have taken on recently. Some of those have been really good as well.
So you guys were acquired in, was it 2023?
Yeah, March of 23.
What changed for you with the acquisition?
So I'll say for my entire team, nothing has really changed. We still run the same company that we run. We sold to a firm called Sealess Services out of Philadelphia, and they've been really great. They've been a good partner. But overall, not much in the company has changed. We were already running pretty good by the time they came along. So there was nothing that really needed to be changed. A few things dialed in, but no real huge sweeping changes. For me, now I'm doing a little bit more on the acquisition side, helping it grow the Ohio market, a Western PA market. I've been given some really good opportunities to help coach and mentor, train some other GMs and some other service managers that are also in the group. And it's been a really great learning experience just to see how that finance side works, what the mergers and acquisitions side really is, because there's so many things that are said in the industry about private equity groups and how great they are, how terrible they are. And it's really interesting to see, okay, what is it actually, right? What is a private equity firm and what do they do to you and what don't they do to you? So for me, to answer your question, not a lot has changed, just more opportunity has been given to do more.
You've got the right attitude about it. The people that do well with the acquisitions take it as a learning experience, and they walk out of it when they eventually leave. They have learned a lot more, and they have a whole new view of what the market is. It's a really interesting experience for them and a growth opportunity. So you're doing the same thing, and it's good.
And what I see from companies that are very negative against PEs, and don't get me wrong, there are some negatives. I'm not going to say it's 100% rainbows and roses over here. But the ones that are really against it or who have been burned by it, a lot of times, and this is not every time, by the way, so don't get me wrong, but a lot of times it seems like they didn't have their processes 100% dialed in, or they weren't running the same way as the company they sold to was running. And so when they sold, this new company comes in and they make all these sweeping changes, and you still have this vibe that you are the owner of this company and that you should be making the decisions. Well, somebody else paid you so that they can make those decisions for you. And if you weren't dialed in company and now this larger conglomerate wants to come in and make some changes to make you more profitable, run a little bit leaner, if you weren't already doing a lot of these things, you're going to give a lot of pushback, and then you're going to say that your experience was really terrible when in fact it may have been just you weren't as profitable as you should have been to start with, right? Maybe you weren't as dialed in to start with. And again, I'm not saying that's everybody. So if anybody's listening is like, that didn't happen to me, I'm not saying this is across the board. I just want to see in some of these groups and some of the people I talk to.
Yeah, I think that's a good observation. If you're not as profitable as they want you to be, they are going to enforce some changes in your company. And as it should be, right?
As it should be. And you owe it to your team to be as profitable as possible. If you are not profitable, you cannot give them raises. You can't put in training centers. You can't buy more trucks. You can't grow. You can't do more marketing. It is a disservice, in my opinion, to not be profitable and to not be as profitable as possible for your team and for your family. And we put in so many hours in these companies. There's so much stress. People in the companies say they're your friend, they leave for someone else, or you have to fire them and things burn down. It's a lot of stress. It's a lot of emotions, and you owe it to yourself to pay yourself well and to pay your team well. And if you're not, it is a disservice to your company, in my opinion.
So you have done almost every job in your company. You're named the top 40 under 40. I certainly understand why that is after talking to you. You're the general manager. What's next for you?
I'm 31 years old right now. Like I said, we're doing about $23 million at our company. I brought on two more companies in our area. I don't run them, but definitely help assist where I can. They're about $10 to $12 million apiece in our area. I think what's next for me is really just seeing how much I can learn. I love learning, love figuring out new things. Back to that puzzle comment, love figuring out how all the big pieces fit together and where I can get involved. What's next for me is probably doing more mergers and acquisitions, probably moving into more regional areas and just seeing how many more people that we can assist in their growth and help. I did not get here alone. Like I said, Lou Obike had been a huge part of my growth. The friends of mine in our mixed group have been massive. We've been in the same group since 1989, and they've been so supportive over the years and just opening up the doors, opening up their books. And I feel some sort of way about it where I didn't get here alone. And I don't think anybody really gets to where they're at alone. And I feel like it's my job now to help someone else exit their company, make their company profitable, make them more money, make their team more money. That's my new mission and my new focus over the last couple of years is just how can we make more companies run better so that they are better for their teams and for their families.
Very good. I look forward to hearing what you do next. And I think you've got a great future in front of you. So thank you for doing this. This has been fantastic. And I would like to check in with you in another couple of years, see what's happened. You've got a great story so far, and I think the future is going to be even more interesting. So I'm looking forward to hearing what happens.
Perfect. My door is always open. My phone's always on. If anybody ever needs any assistance, any advice, want to hear about my experience on anything, call me, email me. Happy to chat with anybody about what they've got going on.
Thank you. Hi, this is David again. Three quick notes. One, if we provided any value today, would you please give us a good rating on whatever app you're listening on? It would help us a lot and help get our message to more people. Two, would you recommend us to a friend or colleague? Just as in your own business, personal recommendations are powerful. Three, we're always looking for great interviewees and topics. If you have an idea for us, if you know someone who should be interviewed, or if you would like to be interviewed, don't be modest. Just shoot an email to pip@newmediaempire.com. That's PIP, like Profiles in Prosperity, @newmediaempire.com. We'd love to hear from you. Thanks for listening, and thanks for your support.